Hi everyone, good afternoon. Today's parak of Rambam is the fifth parak of Hilchos Tevilah u'Birkos Kohanim. In this parak, the Rambam will now tell us eight things which, while they are required for proper tevilah, they are not absolutely required to the point where if you don't have them, then you must repeat your tevilah again. In the previous parak, we saw five things which are of that nature, that if you don't have them, then it's no tevilah. Here, these eight are ideal and are mandated, but if you don't have them, technically, the tevilah has been fulfilled. Halacha Aleph. There are eight matters which a person who's praying should try his mightiest to do. But if, for some reason, beyond his control, he was unable to do them, or within his control, he just violated and did not do them, so then, they are not essential to tefillah in the sense that the tefillah would have to be redone. The tefillah technically counted. These are the eight. Number one, Amida, you have to be standing. Number two, V'nocha HaMikdash, you have to be facing towards the base of Mikdash. Number three, V'tikan HaGuf, your body has to have the proper posture. Number four, V'tikan HaMabushim, you have to have the proper clothing. Number five, V'tikan HaMakom, you have to be in a place which is proper. Number six, V'ashavayis HaKol, your voice has to be properly attuned, not too high, not too low, as we will see. Number seven, V'akriya, proper bowing. And number eight, V'shtachavaya, and proper prostration, let's say. Bowing in a different sense, we will see precisely at the end of the parak what the difference is between kriya and ishtachavaya. The Rambam will now enumerate the details of each one of these halachah beis. Amida ketzad. What does it entail to be standing? Amos pal el mumad. Ideally, one should not pray unless he's standing up. Hayoshi v'sfina o ba'agala. If he's on a boat or a wagon, im yachol amod yamod. If he's able to stand up, he should stand up. V'im lav, however, he's unable to, yeshiv b'mekomo v'yispalo. Then, as we said, it's not essential that these be there, and therefore he's able to sit and pray from his spot. Somebody who's ill is able to pray even while he's lying on his side, assuming that he's able to have proper focus. And similarly, somebody who's very thirsty or very hungry, so he too falls under the category of somebody who's ill. If he's able to focus, so he should pray. And if he cannot, so then he should not pray until he's eaten or drinking. If somebody's riding on an animal, even though he does have somebody else who can hold his animal while he gets off, he shouldn't go down. Rather, he should stay seated on the animal, and he should pray there, in order that he can have his mind properly settled. It's an amazing halacha. You would think that while he's on top of the animal, he wouldn't be able to focus, so therefore he should get down so he should be able to focus. But it's a deep human insight, how we work. If you're up there on the animal in your comfort zone, this is where you want to be, so you'll be able to focus even though you're in a somewhat precarious position. But if you come down, and even though there's somebody else holding and watching your animal for you, but you're not on your animal and you're not where you want it to be and you're thinking about maybe he's going to hold on to it, maybe he won't, so then you won't be able to focus and therefore better for you to stay on top of the animal. Amazing halacha. Halacha gimel. Nochach HaMikdash Ketzad. The second one on the list was that you should face the base of Mikdash. So what does that entail? Hayomi b'chutz laretz. If somebody's in the diaspora beyond the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, Machzir panav nochach Eretz Yisrael mispalos. Then he faces towards the land of Israel and he prays. Hayomi b'eretz mechavines panav k'neged Yerushalayim. If he's standing in the land of Eretz Yisrael, so then he focuses himself towards Yerushalayim. Hayomi b'Yerushalayim. If he's in Jerusalem itself, in Yerushalayim, mechavin panav k'neged Hamikdash. So then he turns towards the direction of the spot where the base of Mikdash stood. Hayomi b'Mikdash. If he's actually in the base of Mikdash itself. So then he turns towards the western side, towards the Holy of Holies. Summa umisha lo yachol chavines ruchos b'malach b'sfina. Somebody who's blind, or somebody who's just unable to tell which direction is which, or if somebody's on a boat, even if you could tell which direction is which, you know how to navigate, but since the boat is always turning in different directions, you might not be able to say at any given moment which one's the right direction. So in these scenarios, chavines libo k'negas shechina v'yispal, he should simply direct his heart towards God's presence and pray. Halacha dalet, tikkun haguf ketzad. The third item in the list was having proper posture. So what does that entail? Kishu omi b'tpila, sarach chavines raglav zu b'tzad zu, v'nosein einav l'mata, kilhu ma b'larets. A person should stand with his feet together, one right next to the other one, and he should have his eyes gazing downward towards the floor as if you're looking at the earth. V'yalibo panor l'mala, but your heart should be focused upwards, kilhu omi b'shamayim, as if, an amazing imagery here, as if you're standing up in heaven. Maniach yadav alibo, and he should place his hand on his heart, kafusin, folded one over the other one, hayamanis al simolis, with the right one on top of the left one, v'omeid ke'eved lefnei rabo, v'eima b'yir v'pachan, he should stand like a servant before his master, in awe and fear, with the proper, real feeling of standing before your master. V'leaniach yadav al chalatzav, and you shouldn't place your hand on your sides, on your hips, you shouldn't stand in some arrogant posture. Okay. Tikkun HaMabushim Ketzad. The fourth item was having the proper dress. So what does that entail? Metakim HaMabushim Tchila, U'mitzayin Atzmo, Mahader, Shnei Amar, Hashtachavu L'Hashem, Hadras Kodesh. A person should prepare his garments beforehand. He should make sure that he looks nice and neat and handsome as best as he can. As the pasuk says, when you're going to go and bow before God, it should be done with a very beautiful holiness. It should be one which is nice to see. Lo yamod b'tefila ba'afan do so, v'lo b'rosh megula, v'lo b'raglayim megulos, im derech anshei makom shel yamdu b'fnei agdolim el b'batei raglayim. And a person shouldn't get up to pray when he's just wearing his undershirt, or where his head is uncovered, or if his feet are barefoot, unless it's a place where it's normal to go in front of the great people in your society barefoot. Some societies, people walk around barefoot no matter where you are. But assuming you're in a place where they wear shoes, so then you should wear shoes. And no matter what, you shouldn't be holding a Sefer Torah or tefillin in your hands while you're davening, because then you'll be too focused on them and you won't be able to focus on your tefillah. And similarly, you shouldn't hold different types of items or money in your hands while you daven. But you are allowed to hold your lulav while you're davening Shmoneh Esrei on Sukkot, because that is the mitzvah of the day. If somebody has some burden on his head and then the time for tefillah comes, so if it's less than 4 kav's worth, so then he's able to throw it over his back and he can continue to pray. However, if it was 4 or more, then he's got to put it down, it's too heavy, too big, and then he's able to pray. The Rambam tells us very importantly that the way of the wise and their students was that they wouldn't pray unless they were wrapped in their talis. The fifth item was to have a proper place of prayer. So what does that entail? You should stand in a low area, and you should turn your face towards a wall. That Daniel, when he was praying, he would open the windows and then turn towards Yerushalayim. And a person should set the same spot for his tefillah whenever possible. Famous palabacha ruba, v'lo b'achore b'esek neses, elim kain hatsi your panav b'esek neses. A person shouldn't daven in a ruin, and a person also shouldn't daven behind the shul unless he's facing towards the shul. V'asr leishi b'tzad ha'omei b'tvilaso, olav or l'fanav, achi yarach l'menu arba'amos. It's forbidden for a person to sit next to somebody who is in the midst of prayer, or to pass in front of him, until you distance yourself from him 4 amos. Now, Hagos Maimonides points out that if you are sitting next to them and yourself are engaged in tefillah, and others point out that even if you're involved in Talmud Torah, so then that's okay. It's only just to sit there idly. Halacha Zayin. Lo yamav makom gavoa shlosh tefachim o yosar v'yispala. A person shouldn't stand in a high spot, some place which is above 3 tefachim, which is, you know, about 10 inches, or more than that, and daven. V'lo agavi mita, you also shouldn't stand on a bed. V'lo agavi safsor, a bench. V'lo agavi kisei, not on a chair. Ha'ibinyan gavoa, if he was on some tall structure, im yishbo arba amos al arba amos, if it's wide enough, that's 4 by 4 amos wide, roughly 8 by 8 feet, shu shira bais, which is then the size of a house, harehu ka'aliyah umotu l'spalabo. So then it counts as like an attic, and it's permitted to daven there. B'chein, im haya mukaf mechitos mikol ruchosav, afal pish einbo arba amos al arba amos, mutru l'spalabo, v'peish ein gavo nikar, sharei chalak rishos la'atmo. And similarly, if you're on top of this structure, it's not 4 amos by 4 amos, it's smaller than that, but there are walls around it, so then it's not as obvious that you're on some high up spot, it counts as its own domain, and it's okay for you to dive on there. Lachas. Ha'amnin shayu osim lach b'rosha ilan, o b'rosha nidbach, o b'rosha kotel, ve'igia zman tefila, yordan lamata, o mitzpalin, v'chodrin lamachta. If you have workers who are up on top of a wall, on top of a tree or the like, and the time for tefillah comes, so they should go down and they should daven, and then they should go back to their work. If they're on top of certain trees, such as on top of an olive tree or a fig tree, so then you can daven already up there, because it would be too annoying to have to go back down and then back up. And in these circumstances, what do they pray, these workers? So if they were merely being paid somewhat like a slave, they were only being paid for food, so then in that circumstance, they are not expected to work as diligently, as hard, and therefore they're able to daven the full Shmoneh Esrei. However, they're being paid an hourly wage, so then they daven the shortened form of Shmoneh Esrei, because it's not their time. They can't impinge on the time of the Balabas who's hired them. And regardless, these workers don't go to daven with a minion, and they don't go to Dochen. Halacha Tes. Hashvayas Kol Ketzad. The next item on the list was to have one's voice in a proper state of equilibrium. So what does that entail? Lo yag b'yakolo b'tfilas ha'vileis pal b'libo. A person shouldn't raise his voice in his prayer. He shouldn't simply think about the words. El mechate chadvarim b'sfasa b'mashmi alazno la'aznav b'lachash. Rather, he should actually pronounce the words with his lips, and he should make sure that he can hear in a whispered tone and these words, that they can reach his ears. And he shouldn't make his voice be loud enough that he can really hear it, unless he's ill, or somebody won't be able to focus otherwise, until he hears his voice. So in those circumstances, then it's allowed. However, a very important caveat is that you shouldn't speak so loudly if you're in a minion, you're davening amongst other people, because then you'll disturb them. The next item on the list was bowing. So what does that entail? When somebody's davening, he bows down 5 times in every tefillah. In the bracha of Avos, in the bracha of Modim, in the beginning and the end. And then when you complete your tefillah at the very end, you bow and take 3 steps back. So he first turns to his own left, and then he turns to his own right, and then he lifts up his head as he turns back towards the middle. And with regards to the first 4 bowings, the ones at the beginning and end of Avos, the beginning and end of Modim, so then you bow at the point when you say Baruch, and you stand up erect when you say Hashem's name. That's with regards to a regular person. However, fascinatingly, a Kohen Gadol bows at the beginning and end of every single bracha, not just those two that we just mentioned. And a king, even more than that, once he's bowed in the beginning, he doesn't lift up his head until he completes his entire tefillah. It's an amazing thing. A Jewish king is not somebody who views his position as one of privilege, it's one of responsibility. He has to be the most humble individual. The very end of Mishnah Torah, the Rambam will discuss this in Hilchos Melachim, but this is a fine example of how a melech has to recognize that despite all the might and glory he's given from human beings, he is responsible for the whole nation, and therefore he has to be more humble. He has to be so careful not to allow the position of power to get to his head. Why, as the Rambam just told us, does the person first turn towards his left at the end of Shemona Esrei? Because his left is the right of the person he is facing. When you're standing before a king, since when you were leaving a king, you would first turn to his right, which is your left, and then to his left, which is your right, that's how we do it here as well, because when Chazal instituted these forms of tefillah, they made sure that we would do so just as we walk away from a king in flesh and blood, so too, when we walk away from the King of Kings, we also act similarly. When we talk about bows, we mean where you bow fully so that the vertebrae are all bent and you are basically bent over like a bow. However, assuming a person is not able to do more, so if a person needs to and he bends over a little bit, he does his best, he makes it clear that he's trying, so then in that case, he doesn't have to worry about it. He's bowed enough for him. The last item on the list was prostration, bowing completely. What does that entail? After he lifts up his head from that final bow at the end of Shemona Esrei, so then he falls completely to the floor and he supplicates God with any supplications that he wants. When we refer to Kriya, as we just did a moment ago, that is on your knees. Now, to be completely clear, that doesn't sound exactly like what we do when we bend with just our bodies. It sounds more like the Rambam is saying something more akin to that which the Arabs do, how they go fully on their knees, touching the floor, their knees actually touching the floor. Kida al-apayim, and kida is when you put your face to the floor, similar to what we do on Yom Kippur. We go and put our knees on the floor and we lay our face to the ground. And this final step of hishtachavaya, complete prostration, what we would do in Tachanun as defined by the Rambam, so you would lie completely on the ground, face touching the ground, completely spread out with hands and feet. Rambam says, with regards to these tachanunim that you say after Shemona Esrei, so there are those that would do kida, which is kneeling over with your face on the ground, and there are those that do hishtachavaya, which is complete prostration across the floor. However, that type of complete prostration is forbidden if it's on stones, only in the base of Mikdash are you allowed to, as the Rambam had explained earlier in Hilchos Avodas Kohanim. And somebody who's a prominent individual should not fall face on it with his face flat on the ground unless he knows that he's a tzaddik just as Yoshua was. Rather, he should turn his face a little bit to the side. He shouldn't just completely smush it into the ground. Now notes that it's permitted for somebody to pray in one spot. He can daven in Shemona Esrei, right? And then afterwards do these tachanunim in a different location. It doesn't have to be in the same spot. Final halacha on the parak. Minak pasha b'chol Yisrael she'ina filas apayim b'shabbosos v'vodim v'lo rosh hashana rosh chadashim v'chanuk v'perim lo mincha shavarek b'shabbosos v'im tovim lo ba'arvis she'b'chol yom. It's a standard custom amongst all of Bnei Yisrael that we don't do this nefilas apayim, this tachanun after Shmoneh Esrei on Shabbos or Yom Tov, any other holiday, and not even on the erev Shabbos or Yom Tovim, and also not by Ma'ariv every night, the evening prayer. V'yishachidim shenofim al pnei ba'aretz. Rambam quotes an interesting custom here, that there are those individuals who would pray tachanun, they would say these extra supplications after their Shmoneh Esrei, also by Ma'ariv. V'yom ha'kupurim bavad, nofim al pnei b'chol tefilah, tefilah b'nei shu yom tachinu b'kash l'taynus. The Rambam then concludes by saying that on Yom Kippur, a day uniquely geared for extra supplications, extra requests made from God, so because it is this type of unique fast day, so then we do tachanun by each one of the different tefillos. That was what the Rambam records, that was his minhag. And we conclude a very, very important parak, one which contains within it so many important tips for having proper kavanah. Because though these are mandated, and they're elements of proper avodas halev, of properly doing this concept of tefillah, it also can help gear us towards better tefillah. If you have the proper clothing, you have the proper posture, and you're really acting on the outside like you're standing before the king, that can impact what you'll be feeling on the inside. It's a very, very important yisod in having kavanah in our tefillah. Everyone should, Amir Tashem, have a lot of success in our avodas tefillah.